Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
This podcast is brought to you in part by Simply Safe. If you have 30 minutes, well, you don't have to worry about home break-ins ever again. That's how quick you can set up your security system at Simply Safe. Go to simplysafe.com/Adam, customize your system, and get a free security camera at simplysafe.com/Adam. Well, the great Brian Setzer from, you know him from the Stray Cats and Brian Setzer Orchestra. He's going to join us. We'll talk some shop with him. Plus, lots of thoughts going around today's show. First, I'll tell you about Geico. Do you own, do you rent your home? Well, you do one or the other, and then there's your automotive policy. How about you get your bundle working at Geico? That's right. Take your automotive or your homeowners or your renters and bundle them up at Geico. It's a good thing, too, because they already have so much to do around the house. So just go to geico.com. Get your bundle working and go to geico.com. That is geico.com.
Hey guys, Jay Cutler. Started a new podcast called Uncut with Jay Cutler. Most of you know me from the NFL. Some of you have seen me on Instagram. And some of you know me from the reality TV world. Each week I'm taking you along with me as we discuss football, trending topics, and whatever's going on in my life each week. I'm bringing along people that are special in my life. Former teammates, friends, and some new people that I like and respect. That's what you're supposed to do, right? Podcasting? I think I'm doing this right. Can't wait to get started with you. Go subscribe now. Uncut with Jay Cutler. Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and Spotify. Or wherever you get your podcasts.
From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Brian Setzer and AJ Benza. With Gina Grad on news and Bald Brian on sound effects. And now, he shits out points so Brian can shit on his points, even though his shit is on point. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. The church has got a mandate. You get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. Love that about you, right, Gina Grad?
That's right.
And Bald Brian.
This thing is a real tool.
All right. Brian Setzer going to join us. Yeah. Brian is over the moon. Loves himself some Brian Setzer. You know, everyone loves Brian Setzer.
They should. You know what I remembered, which Gina wasn't around for? I don't even know if you remember. This is a deep cut for ACS aficionados. Back in the radio days, Brian Setzer was supposed to be on. This might have been 06, 07. Like, he was supposed to be on in the radio days. I was psyched. I'm a huge Brian Setzer fan, but I've been for years. And he was late, and he showed up at like 9:58. Mm-hmm. And like, we had him on for the last minute of the show, said, mm-hmm. Oh, you got to come by sometime.
Yeah, give me 15 years.
Yeah, this is the time.
Well,
I don't know if you remember that or not, but that was he walked in the studio. He was like, I don't know what happened, publicist, something, but it was like, oh, come back sometime, plug your whatever.
I'm at the point where if you said John Wayne was on Loveline, I'd go, he was?
What are we talking
about?
And
you go, oh, yeah, right at the, like my, and you'd get specific. You'd go, no, it was the first year.
I spent 10 minutes on Hondo.
That's right. He was? And you'd go, yeah. It was like in the first 2 weeks, I was answering phones on Loveline.
I remember, I just started.
Right. Now, I would, at some point, I'd go, I guess he was. That's where I'm at now in terms of my history.
So Setzer makes his triumphant return.
But I did have a thought, which is, when I heard Brian Setzer was coming on, I had this flashback to Brian Setzer and the orchestra mm-hmm. coming into Kevin and Bean at K-Rock a million years ago.
You brought the BSO!
And I brought the BSO, and I remember them sort of setting up, and the studio was... The Kevin and Bean studio was two-thirds the size of this studio. wasn't a big studio. It was a smallish
cramped
studio, and it wouldn't be enough room to get all the horns and everything in there. And so I think they propped the door open and ran the mic cables like out into the hall by where Brian would have screened phones back then.
Oh,
the
God.
Van drivers
literally
hung
a
out
hallway.
And put them in the satellite.
Literally a hallway with a little nook for Jimmy to do his sports with the tractor feed on the printer and everything.
What a weird studio that was. I don't mean studios in like Kevin Bean. I mean like the facility where
the
this
layout.
Major rock station was.
Yeah, they may have spilled into Frank Murphy's office, which was the office that was right next to the studio as well. But I sort of had this recollection of them, the orchestra, showing up. I mean, maybe it was the skeleton crew, maybe it had eight guys or something like that. But
the main concert crew is,
you
know, 22 people.
Right. And we sort of moved them into Frank's office and into the hall, and then we mic'd them up as best we could. And then they played on Kevin and Bean. Now, that was my recollection. But then I had a half a recollection that they may have also played on the Christmas album, because Jimmy, who was always in charge of the Christmas album, not because that was his job, just because he was the guy who got shit done. And you will be punished if you are the guy who gets shit done, although you'll be rewarded later in life by knowing how to do shit, the shit that no one else wanted to
do. It's a long game.
Right. It struck me that, wait a minute, he would have wrangled them.
Absolutely.
And if it was anywhere, you know, it didn't have to be November. It could be the middle of the summer.
It's better if it wasn't.
He had Brian Setzer and the orchestra in there, and he was definitely planning something.
Interesting.
And so I thought, I had some vague recollection of him laying down something or them laying down something for him in the Christmas album. So I said to Chris, look it up. And turns out in 1998, Chris,
that was the peak of their commercial success.
Right. They
jump driving the whale. And all that
in fact, laid down a little less. It was the album is from, I mean, the cassette, Kevin and Bean cassette, is Santa Swing and Sack. And it's from they did Jingle Bells or Jingle Bells Rock. I don't remember whatever they did. And also Ben Stein, John Stewart, and Ben Stiller.
What?
And Tyra Banks are on this album, too.
Wow. So how is that possible?
It was...
Well, if they came through to promote something in the morning show, I was like, hey, step into the studio and read this.
I think Jimmy would look at the calendar. Jimmy, by the way, this is how you produce. This is how Jimmy thought. He'd see on the calendar that John Stewart was coming in next week. Then he'd probably come up with some concept and bang something out where Jon Stewart reads The Night Before Christmas or something. And then when Jon Stewart, you couldn't walk out of the studio without passing Studio B, where we recorded the Cabessons and Burcham and all the Christmas. You'd have to literally walk past it. And so I think as the people were walking past it, I don't know if Jimmy would give him a heads up. The problem is sometimes when you ask in advance, they I got to go right off to Good Day LA.
I'm going to go right this way.
Right. Instead, they'd be walking out and Jimmy'd walk out and like corral them and go, hey, man, you got just a minute? I got this thing. And they go, what is this? It's for charity. And the next thing you know, they were reading something that Jimmy cranked out before that. We have a little Jingle Bells from Brian Setzer Orchestra off that Swing and Sack, Santa Swing and Sack from 1998. So this would have been K-Rock when me and Jimmy were there. We'll play a little bit of that. And then we'll see. I was like, Ben Stein, John Stewart.
Oh, dude.
Oh, is this from the Acoustic Christmas?
This is a live version.
Yeah.
This is his live CD.
Chris is using his hands, so maybe something's a little different.
Well, let me help Chris out here, because as a something just below Brian Setzer Orchestra expert, they have like four or five Christmas albums that are fucking fantastic. Everyone listening, do yourselves a favor and download some Brian Setzer Orchestra Christmas, because it's great.
Hey, Chris, stop arguing with Dawson for a second and just tell us what's going on.
Dawson said that this is from the K-Rock show, and...
No, this is from the K-Rock Acoustic Christmas.
Yes.
Yes.
It is?
Not from Jimmy pulling him into a side closet.
That's not what I asked for, though, Chris.
Wouldn't there be a lot more K-Rock signage?
They're having a hard enough
time. I fucked up. Excuse me. I'm an idiot. There you go. All right. Just let's move on.
All right.
Let's move on.
But it's still good.
Did
it's
they? Excellent. Oh, he just threw his hat. Now he's mad.
He's going to break a pencil.
Well, it's still good. All right. But here's my point.
Okay.
Did they play on the Christmas album that they released, Santa Swingin' Sack?
I cannot find that Christmas album.
Oh, okay.
But they're okay. Credited on whatever, looking at you, yeah. Wikipedia or whatever.
Would they have gotten permission to
here's,
use?
Here's my guess. If it's up there as Jingle Bells and they played Jingle Bells at the show, then that's what they would use for the Christmas album.
They weren't pulled into the broom closet and redoing it. Is what you're saying.
So maybe.
Wouldn't it be easier for them just to provide a track they recorded for their Christmas album?
Well, like, and just to let you know what genre was the genre that year, we have Cherry Pop and Daddies, we have Squirrel Nut Zippers
sure,
up there.
Very late
90s. Yeah, which was awesome.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, were those kind of stripped down in the studio, or were those like this, that they let you use?
My recollection is that they would play them in the studio, but that could have been good for Cherry Poppin' Daddies or Squirrel Nut right. Zippers. By the way, this is all kind of off of Swingers?
Yes.
Trying to think.
Swingers launched that big new swing revival, absolutely.
Right. So Swingers was
96.
96. So, yeah, then all
this
these
been
bands
in the fallout of that.
Became
yep.
in vogue then.
Oh, that was a big trend. Lost to history.
So maybe Brian Setzer recorded and then contributed that recording.
Maybe.
Or maybe he recorded it on the album, but we have to find the album in order to figure that one out.
I have no idea.
If Hanson will come in and do Mbop acoustic, Setzer would have done this.
So good. All right. If Chris is done doing whatever Chris is doing,
he's got his ass out there.
He's got to come back in and figure this one out.
Kale's got a black eye.
So the other question, well, it doesn't matter. He's playing Jingle Bells.
It's great.
Is it titled Jingle Bells on the album?
Titled Jingle Bells on the album. Hold on one second. Let's see.
All right. I'll buy you guys some time, or you can find that.
If we've learned nothing from this, it's the Brian Setzer Orchestra does amazing Christmas songs. They have, like I said, four or five albums full of Christmas songs.
Talk about a pivot.
There we go. Yes. Same song.
Well, yeah, but
this is from the album.
Yeah, this is from Kevin and Bean's album.
Yes.
Jingle bells, jingle bells.
Okay.
So
it isn't the same performance, then yeah, maybe Brian's right that he gave one from his album.
No. I think he recorded it. I think they recorded it at K-Rock when Jimmy coaxed him into recording it. That's my memory.
If I may politely disagree, I'm very familiar with the song, as in I've heard it 200 times. Mm-hmm. This is the studio version.
This is pretty damn polished.
All right, so they gave the studio album the version to put on the Kevin and Bean record.
Sure, I can say what we're listening to right now.
If only there was someone we could ask in the next 20 minutes.
Yeah. All right, well, we can text Jimmy. But if we can find the 98 album or cuts off it, then we can figure it out. Because now I'm still curious of what Jon Stewart did.
And Ben Stein.
Ben Stein.
What did he do, like a
Ben Stiller?
I would imagine Ben Stein read what, like The Night Before Christmas or something?
Yeah, they were doing the game show.
Win Ben Stein's money.
No,
looks like Ben Stein
did
the introduction. Let's see if this plays.
Let's see. All right, so we'll
no,
get
there's no
that.
Audio of that.
All right.
There's a lot of missing audio.
All right, well, we got time. So see if you can find any audio recordings of that 98 Kevin and Bean album, and then we'll see if we can figure it out.
We have 3 months till we have to wait till next year.
In the meantime, I got some Nancy Grace for you.
Oh, no.
She did
also.
Jingle bells, wah, wah.
I was doing the Sonny's father-son fantasy draft last night.
Son.
I just sat there drinking a beer.
Oh, you're back in Fairy Tale?
And yeah. And Sonny made all his picks. And there is one of the dads is an emergency room physician.
Ooh.
Or he runs an emergency room.
He's hospitalist or whatever?
Out here. Yeah. Well, in Glendale somewhere.
It was very tall.
Yeah. And so we're kind of talking, and he said, we're talking about the COVID Delta spike. Because look, you can look at all the graphs you want on CNN, but talk to an emergency room physician. The guy runs an emergency room, and he's going to tell you if it's crowded or it's not crowded. Said it was pretty crowded 2 weeks ago. Says it's down a ton now. So whatever that spike.
Interesting.
Now, again, this is Los Angeles. Yeah. I don't know if this holds true across the country. But he said spiky about 2 weeks ago, pretty low and flat now. Mm. And then he paused and said, a lot of young people coming in. I said, young people coming into the hospital? He's like, young. And I was like, oh, I thought this wasn't hitting young people. And then he paused and he said, obese young people. Like that, it's obese. Like you have to be obese. Like that's what's going on. Mm-hmm. This could have been our teachable moment. Could have got a lot of... By the way, the obese 22-year-old makes it through COVID. They still got a long life of obesity, and we got a lot of... There's a lot of hospital visits and a lot of procedures and
blood pressure,
got to be on dialysis, and there's lots of stuff we're going to be paying for a long time. This could have been a real nice little teachable moment. Like, let's just say that we replaced... Now, a lot of the data is coming in on masks. It's 9% maybe. There's different studies out of different places, but it's not a cure all. It's marginally helpful. It's mildly helpful, and we don't wear them right, and we don't wear the right mask. The mask is almost neither here nor there.
And
but,
by we, you mean you in August,
right? But society doesn't know. Well, again, as soon as the masks start coming down for the Fiesta mix, then the science, that's where the science ends. But fine. Imagine if we'd just done, let's say 5% of mask talk was personal health. Yeah. You know what I mean? Obesity, things you could do, changes you could make, healthy changes you could make. Let's make it 2.5%. Right. Like we just took 2.5% of the fucking mask up talk, the nonstop masking up, hand washing and spraying everything down with Lysol talk. It just shifted toward the 78% of people that are going down are because they're obese. What if we just shifted a little into the heavyweight talk here? A nice teachable moment, you know? And let's just say you're obese and you never got COVID, but you're still obese. Like, we definitely could have shifted the conversation. I think we got into this fat shaming thing, and it's like, it's not shaming. If your doctor says, hey, you got to quit smoking, that's not shaming. And if your doctor says, hey, you got to stop drinking so much, that's not shaming. And if your doctor says, take it easy on the Taco Bell, that's not shaming. That's a doctor.
Yeah.
Shaming suggests, oh, we're just doing this for nefarious reasons.
And by the way, you're a bad person.
Right.
That's
right.
Shaming.
Why are you so dumb?
Right.
I think a better way to couch this would have been, no pun intended, would have been a PSA that was basically like, look, we all feel completely out of control of this situation. We think it's under control and then it's not. And we all individually feel so out of control. Here's a way you can take control. Here's a way you can take control of the situation that feels so unattainable. But you get your health right and you will be in control of the situation.
It feels weird that obesity is just will put you at risk at a much higher rate than almost anything else except for age. But that's, you know, after you pass like 70. And yet it's nonstop vax, nonstop mask, nonstop social distancing, all stuff that's maybe worth a conversation, but definitely be talking about your weight. Right.
Do we know why? I mean, I know it's might sound like a stupid question, but I really don't know the answer. Is it a lung thing? Is it a heart pumping thing?
When you're obese, everything is bad. It's like sort of saying, I guess, not a doctor, but here'd be my example. It's sort of going, well, then why is the flu bad? Just because you're over 75, and you're over 75. You're diminished. You're just diminished. You're diminished when you're over 75. I mean, there's probably some graph that basically says if, in fact, you're morbidly obese at 23, you're probably in the same boat as a 77-year-old who's of the right weight and healthy.
Right.
You know what I mean? You got yourself there. So should have been a conversation, could have been a conversation. Guys like Bill Maher brought it up a few times. But in general, it's this weird thing where it's like there's some sort of third rail of politics like we can't talk about. But yet, we never stop talking about, you know, your personal responsibility. Right. It's your responsibility. You got to get vaccinated. You got to wear a mask. You got to get people safe around. It's not for you. It's for everyone around you. Like, your personal responsibility. Why didn't we get into this? And then could have been a time where we turned the corner and started heading down that healthy road.
Could have improved the outcomes of a lot of people.
Have you guys squandered it? Seen
yes.
that? meme that had been going around that says, diabetes runs in your family because nobody runs in your family.
That's funny.
That's good.
Good. All right. So, Fauci, bring that up every once in a while, or whoever's interviewing him. All right. Gina, you have something about Cher and the Osmond brothers?
I've been thinking nonstop about Love Boat. As I imagine you thought would happen to Brian and I.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way I could find to repay you was coming across this little clip that I thought would bring you a certain amount of joy. It is creepy, it is off-putting, and it is Cher dancing with the Osmonds. And it was just a little small token of my gratitude for the Love Boat clip you brought in yesterday.
Circa,
what is it, 77 maybe?
Mm-hmm. On her show or the Osmond show?
I think it's on her show.
Because there's a lot of cross-pollination. Everyone had a variety show, and they all had to do each other's.
I think this is Cher's show, but I'm not 100%. But there's a lot of clips that I've been finding lately that are Cher performances from the Cher show with people coming in to do the hustle with her.
How gay are you?
Pretty gay.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this is her show. But either way, please just take in the majesty and consider it a little token of my gratitude.
Just clap along. We're
going to
sing a little song of
superstition.
The Osmonds.
Ruining Stevie Wonder. Ruining it.
This is cultural appropriation. I don't like this.
Donnie looks just like cartoon Donnie when they draw him.
Yeah,
this
he does.
Is the funkiest song ever, and then they're fucking whitewashing me. Ooh!
People forgot about the jumpsuit with the giant collar built in and the flares at the bottom.
It's a onesie, yeah. A tight onesie.
That was enjoyable.
Who's that guy?
I think that's Tito. All right. 70s.
Just a little
People
token.
Just did mounds and Look mounds of cocaine.
My God, the song's only 3 years old. The body's still warm.
Yeah, it was pretty terrible.
Brutal.
Boy, if Stevie Wonder could see.
Now we need Brian Setzer to do a cover of this.
All right. 1975, says Max Zapata.
It's tough stuff.
All right. If you have any Kevin and Bean updates, you can tell us. But if not, we will power forward here.
Yeah, we're trying to find it. There's only physical copies being sold on eBay. There's nothing uploaded.
Yeah, it's released on cassette. It's got to be hard to make the transition, I would imagine.
Well, as far as the internet, I have no idea anymore because there's stuff I think, someone should find that, and then it doesn't exist. Right. And then there's other stuff that does exist where my mind is blown. All right, so I was watching the news this morning, and Nancy Grace was on, and she was talking about the, it's a case, Dawson, you can set it up.
Missing Blonde?
Garagos and I were talking about, it's a crazy case. I don't know if you guys have heard about it. Is it, what's the name, Alex Murdaugh?
Oh, I think Murdaugh. It's Murdaugh. I think it's pronounced Murdaugh.
Probably Murdaugh.
They do Murdaugh, lawyer in the South somewhere, son drunk, driving a boat, killed a friend, like a 19-year-old kid in the boat.
A girl.
Could
have been a girlfriend, maybe.
At some point, the mom and the son who killed the girl were executed in their house. And then the dad, who got caught embezzling like over $1 million from his law. He's an attorney. Mm-hmm. This thing just keeps going. So I don't know if you have it or you want to play a clip from this morning, but we can figure it out. But I saw Nancy Grace and it made me think of Gina.
Okay.
That's all. I thought you might have some thoughts on this.
We'll have Dawson set up the story first.
All right.
Go right into it.
Go ahead.
This coming from a couple of days ago, millions of dollars are reported missing from the powerful Lowcountry law firm that was the legal home of the prominent South Carolina attorney, Alexander Murdaugh. As of Monday evening, the firm's website was taken offline. There are millions of dollars missing from the thing. And yes, his wife and son were found murdered after he had some kind of drunk boating accident and was about to go on trial for that. But on June 9th, 2021.
It wasn't him, though. It was the son, right?
Right, the son.
Right.
Murdoch was identified by both law enforcement and prosecutorial sources as, quote, a person of interest in the ongoing investigation into the killing of his wife and son, even though he ostensibly provided investigators with an ironclad alibi for his whereabouts.
All right. Do we have that clip? Then his truck breaks down by the side of the road. Somebody gets out, takes a shot at him, allegedly. Head wound, but grazing head wound.
Lackley story.
And now he's in rehab.
Oh, like drug rehab.
Yeah.
Not like physical therapy because of the
gunshot. No, sorry. Yeah, he entered rehab after being shot, grazed by a bullet by the side of the road. So that's what we got. Do we have that clip then, Max Zapata? Sorry.
A lot to the story. Thought we'd bring Nancy Grayson, the host of Crime Stories on Fox Nation, to try and make some sense of it. Nancy, good morning.
Let me just start
with some new developments here.
Scowling.
I mentioned he's 53. Apparently, he was battling an opioid addiction and will go to rehab for that. The law firm, sources close to the law firm are reporting about millions of dollars missing. You had this incident from this past weekend where he was apparently shot on the side of the road. You were just down in the area. What did you learn?
Well, I'll tell you what I learned. I didn't just go to South Carolina. I went to Savannah, Georgia, because I had to do some digging down there. And oh, did I find out some things.
Excuse me. Can't you dig from the internet from your apartment these days?
I don't know how you lazy comedians do it, but as hard-nosed journalists, we go where the action is.
Okay, so you go down there.
So I go down there, and I heard he had a little boo-boo on his head. Wah, wah. Okay, so
he was shot in the head.
Yeah. I'm serious.
May have grazed.
Rub a little dirt in it, Girl Scout.
Attempted murder.
Here's what I heard happen. His car breaks down on the side of the road. A truck goes by, flips a bitch, I think is what the kids call it, a U-turn, and shoots him in the head. A likely story.
Well, he's in rehab now, so we, you know, got to be tread lightly. We have someone.
I don't have to tread nothing. I think this is a coked up killer trying his last defense before he gets the chair.
Well, look, maybe it's just from sitting next to Dr. Drew all those years, but you know, in a way, you know, addiction is a disease.
Dr. Drew is no more of a doctor than I am a lawyer, if that tells you anything.
Well, no, he's an actual physician.
Okay, and I'm Dr. Pepper.
He's an addiction medicine specialist.
He's board certified.
What does it have to do with this man lying about being shot in the head?
Okay,
everybody knows that the husband did it. The husband always did it. You think this poor innocent woman and her son were just sitting there and somebody broke? Now, people do break into the house and snatch children. I will give you that.
I've never heard of a case like that, but go ahead.
Oh.
I have kids myself. They're alone in the house right now.
Oh boy.
Well, you have help there or...
No, they're fine. They got a dog.
Wait a second. I'm sorry. I don't mean to digress, but your children are home alone right now?
Yeah, they're fine. They're mature.
How do you know your children aren't being napped as we speak?
I got one of them Ring doorbells.
Can you see them now? Can we call them?
I don't have my phone in here now.
Those kids are dollars to donuts. Those kids are going to be gone with just that swinging in the backyard when you get home. There is a child napping every second in this country, Adam. Why do you think your kids are so safe?
What's wrong with a child taking a nap?
They are going to be snatched from your home.
What's wrong with a child having a... Okay. I get you mean abducted.
You need to go send somebody to the house right now and just hold those babies. Hold them tight.
I think that would cause more damage than more harm than good.
Oh, really? Why don't you say that to Elizabeth Smart? Why don't you say that to Vandersloot's victim? Why don't you say that to all those young girls who we can't ask now because they got snatched? Now, do you have a daughter yourself, Adam Carolla?
Yeah, I do. She's in home alone right now. She's fine.
Oh, my God. Somebody please go get this child. Take her to protective services.
There's a gardening van in front of the house. I'm sure the gardener's out there.
Please don't tell me it's windowless.
Well, yeah, it's a gardening van.
Oh, no. Adam, somebody go get this child. Well, she's going to be sold on the black market.
All right, but back to the Murdoch case.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Okay, that guy was shot. He's entered rehab.
Now,
he may have had an addiction problem.
I don't think
we can call him guilty just yet.
You know how sometimes the kids say, the one who smelt it, dealt it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, I think that applies to this case. And if I were talking to a jury, I'd say, jury, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, y'all ever heard the phrase, the one who smelt it, dealt it? Well, guess what? That man, and I would point to his lawyer, mm-hmm. that man said, for no reason, nobody asked, this is not a self-inflicted gun wound. We didn't ask about that.
Well, some people in the jury may say, yeah, whoever smelt it dealt it, but you cut the cheese and you licked the knife. So it's not all...
Point taken. When you're right, you're right.
And scene.
It's a good legal comeback.
Wait, what is it?
I may have cut the cheese, but you licked the knife. That's if anyone ever hits you with the smelt it dealt it, you return fire.
I gotta write this down.
Yeah, but there's more. You lick the knife.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I learned something.
Oh yeah, very important. That's the only thing I learned in junior high, actually. All right, so it's a crazy case, and
really
Mark and I were covering it. We don't know what's going on.
Her attorney really did say that out of nowhere. Nobody asked. He's like, oh, by the way, this is not self-inflicted. Like nobody.
Oh, really?
Yeah, this is all. This all really happened.
Seems weird that he gets a flat tire and somebody decides to shoot him while he's fixing his flat.
And Nancy said, and I know nothing about these cars, but whatever car he's driving, maybe it was a Mercedes. It's the kind where the flat is meant to be driven on.
Run flat.
A run flat.
Yes.
So he was driving in a car with a run flat and he was like, but I broke down. I had to stop. And then this random mystery truck came and shot me.
I think the run flat tires are like you can go 50 miles or something on a flat or something without it coming
with the killer.
Disintegrating, coming off the rim. All right, Setzer's going to join us in the next break. I'll tell you about Miro first, collaborative online whiteboarding platform created to help people visualize, discuss, and share work. Miro is a blank slate, just like the whiteboard hanging on your office, except for this one you can actually use. Write, draw, use videos, sticky notes, diagrams, and audio to conceptualize your vision. We use this thing over with Nate at the other shop when we're making a documentary. So much easier to map it out and plan it out and visualize it. Miro is creating a revolution in how we create and collaborate. Join over 20 million users today. Sign up and use Miro free today. That is miro.com/Adam to start your free account. Sign up today for 3 free whiteboards with this exclusive offer. Don't delay. Start using Miro today. Go to miro.com/Adam. All right. The great Brian Setzer is going to join us. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back right after this. Hey, Geico, do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other, right? You know, it's hard work out there. Owning, renting. You want to save some money? How about you bundle? Bundle your policies at Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle the homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you got so much to do already. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save at Geico. That is geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Your daddy says that I'm no good. He don't know what's under my hood. 427th Street pipe exhaust. Lapping up high tech, screw the cost. Earth angels be beeping out of my way.
We have Brian Setzer on the line, God willing. The album is called Gotta Have the Rumble. Brian Setzer, you with us?
I'm here.
Nice to talk to you.
Hi, Adam. Nice to talk to you.
I probably met you way back in the day coming into Kevin and Bean at K-Rock all those years ago.
Sounds like we did.
That checks out.
We're trying to settle something here, and we'll see if your memory can afford us an answer. Back in the day, when you guys would come through town, you'd go through K-Rock, young Jimmy Kimmel was there, and he was trying to set up the Christmas album for Kevin and Bean. Now, I remember you guys playing for Kevin and Bean with the Brian Setzer Orchestra and spilling out into the hall and spilling into adjacent offices and setting up. But do you remember that? And do you remember doing a song for the Christmas album?
I remember setting up and everyone was in the hallway. You know, because we had, you know, 16 people. I remember that. I remember doing that. Everybody was set up. And then the whole Christmas thing started out, and then it wouldn't let up. I do recall that. I remember they wanted jingle bells. And I said, well, what am I going to do with jingle bells? And then it got in that movie, and they kept calling me and kept calling. And I became, Mr. Rock and Roll Santa.
What is the, God bless you, because, you know, going from the Stray Cats to the Brian Setzer Orchestra is one of the bigger departures, I'd say, sonically. I mean, you could sort of go, you know, I love George Harrison, but what he was doing with the Beatles and what he was doing solo wasn't dramatically different.
Sure, went parallel.
But also there's the economics of it, because you guys were a trio, right? And you go from three dudes, and look, there's an economics to how you whack that check up and set up and trucks and all that, to what was the biggest orchestra you traveled with?
Yeah, so it shouldn't have happened. I got the idea because I was watching The Tonight Show with Doc Severinsen. And back in the day, they said, they were going to have the Stray Cats song. And they said, do you want to use Doc's big band behind the Stray Cats? I went, oh my God, that would sound incredible, right? So that didn't happen, but that set that idea in motion. So I traveled with the whole band, 16 pieces, and it shouldn't have made any sense. In the very first gigs, I sat down with the trombone player and we wrote all those parts. And I just went out of pocket. I said, oh, we'll do a couple of shows and I'll get it off my chest. And then it just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And I remember turning around after a couple of gigs and they said, the Greek theater called and they want a show from the big band. It like went from the Roxy to the Hard Rock Cafe to the Greek. You know, it went wham.
Right. And at that point, it definitely made sense economically, financially to do it.
Yeah.
At the beginning, you were going to go out of your own pocket. I'm interested in Doc Severinsen, if you guys remember Doc.
Yeah, the band leader.
And back in the day with the crazy blazers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the crazy bedazzled blazers. And so the Tonight Show, that was Carson back then, right?
Right, yeah.
And that would have been mid early 80s.
Well, so, you know, I watched it growing up and Johnny Carson didn't put rock and roll bands on. Mm-hmm. We were like going to be an exception. It didn't happen for whatever reason, but that got the idea going. Cause I used to love that band. I used to picture playing guitar in that, in Doc's big band, you know, but the idea was incredible.
I think Doc played the trumpet. And I think Tommy Newsom played the trumpet, too, for some reason. These are all just weird names that are falling out of my head. But it is interesting.
Sax, I think.
Creatively, Newsom, Tommy Newsom?
Yeah, it looks like he played the sax and Doc played the trumpet.
I'm going back to the trumpet.
I could be wrong, but
well, he probably played a lot.
Yeah.
But all right. But the creative process is interesting because you didn't even do that. It was just the notion of putting that big band behind you and your guitar and how cool that would be. That was enough to launch a Brian Setzer Orchestra. Brian has a question, our own Brian.
Mr. Setzer, I'm a huge fan of the BSO for all the years. My dad played the debut album incessantly in our home, and it became one of my favorite albums of all time. I still listen to it all the time. And then you mentioned playing guitar in that band was kind of a fantasy. Interesting. So it made me think. The guitar, to my observation, is a little drawn back on that first album. It became more prevalent on later albums. Is that a conscious decision, or did it kind of evolve that way to be a little more rockabilly and a little less, you know, big band traditional style?
Well, you know, that's a good question. I didn't have anybody to look back upon who did it before.
It's true.
It was really the first time it had been done. Because back in the day, the guitar player in a big band, he sat in the background and he would strum, 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 strum. He didn't really take many solos. So on the first record, I was still kind of feeling it out. Like, I didn't quite know what to do. I could read the music, I could read the parts, but I didn't know where to stand out. So, you know, a couple albums in, then I really started to bring the guitar out to the front.
Yeah, you're playing more of a jazz guitar in that first, well, a little more like that. And then later albums, you're really letting it rip.
Yeah, so like the first album, it's like that kind of playing, right? It's like jazz playing. And then as I got kind of figured it out more, yeah, I kind of relaxed with it. And I kind of, you know, I rocked it out more, which is what I wanted in the first place.
What was the genesis for you for the Stray Cats and rockabilly? And I'm trying to think, because you guys formed, would have been late, very late 70s, very early 80s. When did the Stray Cats form?
We got together in 79.
All right, that's late.
79.
And I grew up in L.A., and we had K-Rock, so we played all kinds of music. So everyone else who was sort of East Coast, they were listening to Meat Loaf, and I was listening to Oingo Boingo and weird stuff. But it struck me that a band I liked that was an L.A. band, I don't know if they made it to the East Coast or into your ears, was a band called X. And X kind of had Exene Cervenka, I think, was the lead singer. She's a mean woman. It was sad because I grew up listening to all these bands, and then I'd do Loveline. I'm like, oh, X is coming in. She's a bitch.
On brand.
Ruined the whole thing for me. Don't get me started on the Cowboy Junkies or Chumbawamba. But the point is it struck me that X was doing a little bit of a rockabilly, but sort of with a female lead. Were you familiar with them back in the day?
No, you know, I hadn't heard of that band.
You still haven't heard X?
No. We found out when we came to Los Angeles, but, you know, there wasn't the internet, and they weren't getting played on the radio or anything like that.
Right.
Really, after we came back from England, which, you know, that's really where they took us to heart. We came back to the States, and there wasn't much going on. When we got to California, all hell broke loose, and they got it from day one. You know, it was always popular out west, and that's when I heard all those bands. You know, that they had been playing around X, the Blasters, the Los Lobos.
Yeah.
They were just starting to do mixing some roots stuff, and they were doing kind of something of their own style.
Fabulous Thunderbirds. Remember them?
Oh, yeah.
Of course. Jimmy Vaughn, right?
The hit.
We play with the T-Birds.
And there's
another
one, too.
Yeah, I think the Thunderbirds had a couple hits. They had Wrap It Up, which was remake, I think. But so tell us the part about going, going to England. That's an interesting chapter for the Stray Cats.
There was no rhyme or reason for it. You know, we were playing this music that nobody really knew what it was. And we were doing pretty well around the New York area. You know, we're all from Long Island, New York. But nobody knew what it was. And I saw a picture of this kind of rockabilly kid on the cover of the NME, the New Musical Express. And for some reason, something said to me, well, that's where you have to go. That's where they know what it is. Mm-hmm. So we just sold everything, got plane tickets, almost didn't get in. And after about, we almost turned around, you know, because people didn't, you know, it wasn't that easy just to walk on and get a gig, you know. But I'm telling you, after like the very, like the second or third show, all of a sudden people were showing up and they had like cowboy shirts on. They had cut their hair, you know. I said, they were just, you know, stray cat crazy.
And how long were you in England?
Well, you see, we based ourselves in London, and then we hit up the other countries. I mean, Finland, we were like Elvis over there. I still am. I do like the hockey arenas over there, and then I come back to, you know, Germany, and I'm playing the club. But so we lived there for like 4 years, and we would take a plane. We'd go play Paris, or we go, you know, into Spain or something like that. So we were there for 4 years before we came back to the States.
And at this point, you're just 20, 21, 22, like you're a young man, right? And
then
when you get back to the States, you come to California, and that's kind of where it all blows up, at least here in the United States.
Yeah, because I noticed that places that had MTV, we were getting some pretty big crowds, you know. And I'd never been to California, and when we came out there, it was crazy. It was huge. But they got the whole thing. They got the lifestyle and the guitars and the cars and the motorcycles. I mean, they just got it.
I just have to say that's really, this all makes sense now, because I was also a big fan and really young when you came onto the scene, and we all just assumed you were English and super dreamy, the super dreamy English band. So that totally makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, the two bands that people, I think, thought were English but weren't were the Stray Cats. I had that feeling, too, mm-hmm. like these guys are English, right? And the Pretenders.
Oh, yeah.
Like people thought the Pretenders were English, gotcha. Too, because they had the influence. And I don't know what that vibe. I don't know if you've ever played with the Pretenders, but I thought they're out of Cleveland or something. They're out of Ohio somewhere, I think.
Christy is, yeah. But I think she always had an English band. I was good friends with Pete, the bass player. We used to ride around over there on the old bikes, the old motorcycles. I think it's, you know, we came with that. That's where we had our first success, you know, and then we came back.
It's interesting. So, but here's a question. I don't know if you can answer it or not, but you seem to be a guy who trusts your instincts, because you watch, you know, The Tonight Show, or somebody talks about Doc Severinsen and his band, and you go, oh, that's my idea. And then you see some kid in a magazine in a rockabilly outfit in England, and you go, we should go to England. Like, I feel like a lot of people just wrestle with their ideas, and the decades go by, and they never sell the stuff and go to England. Like, they never put the orchestra behind them. Like, is that who you always were, and is that who you are? A person just has an idea and goes, this is a good idea, even if it doesn't seem to make sense at the time.
Yeah, yes. I didn't know how else to do it. I was very, if I wanted to do something, I got it done somehow, you know. That just made sense to me. I heard that music, you know, only because, you know, it was around the house, you know. And I didn't want to admit it, but I liked it. And I said, wow, I want to play this. I love the tones. I like the stand-up bass and the twangy guitar. And I said, well, I got to start a band like that. I got to do it, whatever it takes. So, yeah, I guess I always took the chances. They didn't always pay off. You know, you don't always make the right decision. But I felt if I didn't try it, well, then you have to live with that your whole life. I should have, would have, could have tried it.
Yeah, it's a good point, which is people think you have to live with the consequences of failure, but you really have to live a longer period of time with the consequences of never trying. Yes. Brian, our Brian has another question.
Some of the best concert experiences I've had has been seeing the Brian Setzer Orchestra. I say experiences, Brian, because I've seen the show a few times, specifically the Christmas show. Are you going to bring the holiday show back? I know there's no tour dates currently, but I as soon as those tickets go on sale, I'm first in line.
Oh, I love playing big band. I mean, I'm going to try. the thing with the big band is it keeps getting more and more expensive to bring out with all those people. But man, I love playing with it.
It's a great show.
I'm only trying to do, couldn't do it this year, of course.
Sure.
But I love it.
Well, if we can get you back to the Greek, you could probably do it.
People want to hear it every year. You know, it becomes their thing. It's like, I got to go see the big band.
It's a tradition. It's like a holiday. He used to bring it around every year. I'd go every time I could. It was such a fun show.
This may be blasphemy, but is there any way to lay down a track and streamline it a little bit? I'm not saying hit play, but I'm just saying lay something down and have 7 guys instead of 16 guys. Is that a possibility in terms of the financial aspect of it?
You can't, because each section makes a chord. Mm. And it's kind of, it becomes a swing band. That's what all the swing bands did. Mm-hmm. Well, great. You know, Royal Crown and all those guys, Cherry Pop and Daddies. And that's like 3 horns. And they make a chord, right? But the big band is a whole lush section. It's like a jigsaw puzzle, that thing. So you kind of need the whole thing. I can tell if there's one guy not playing because it's done a complete chord.
Oh, and then you go back in the tour bus and scream at him like, buddy
hell,
guy?
What or who was that? What the hell is that?
Who was that? Buddy
guy.
Buddy guy.
Told us that, yeah.
Hey, Dawson, do you have my dad playing the trumpet? I don't want to put you on the spot, Brian.
Brian, if you need a new tour.
A pinch hitter.
My dad's knocking on the door of 90, and I recorded him playing the trumpet about 2 years ago. He's a local. He's a local.
He'll work for scale.
He'll drive himself to the Greek. Obviously, you can hear he has chops, so he doesn't need any rehearsal. You just sit down, put the sheet music down. He'll pick it up.
This is him doing jump job. He's doing jump job in a whale, bro.
I'm not going to pressure you for a decision over the phone, but he is kind of waiting on a phone call from me.
I've had worse in that band. Yeah. I've had worse.
So you can literally, now just tell me if this is the same thing. I don't play music, but I do stand up. And you stand there, and sometimes you can hear, like the shows I did in Minneapolis. I think you're just outside of Minneapolis.
You were just here, weren't you?
I was just there.
You were just here in Minneapolis.
I was just there. And the way the club in Minneapolis is laid out is the green room is just right behind the curtain where you go out on stage. And I walked out on stage, and I could hear Mike August in the green room ordering food and talking on his phone, and nobody in the whole place could hear it but me, as I was standing closest to it, and everyone else out in the audience, and they're drinking and they're laughing, but I would keep hearing this, and I started to fixate on it. I could hear him having conversations with the waitress and stuff, and I was doing my set, but it was driving me nuts. And you must be up there sometimes, and you can hear some guy, it's a little off, a little out of key. I'm sure the audience doesn't know.
Right,
I'm sure they don't, but I know you can hear it, right?
Right. No, I know exactly what you mean. My pet peeve is like when the parents bring the kids who don't want to come to the show, and they're going to show those kids what real music is,
right?
And the kids would rather be anywhere else, right? And they're like rolling their eyes, and you're looking at them like, oh man, why did you bring those kids? They're driving me nuts.
Yeah, they don't. I think part of being and so I do think if you're Brian Setzer or if you're Adam Carolla, you have hypervigilance. You just hear everything, and most of it drives you nuts. And so even though you got the game face on and you're not acknowledging it, you're still hearing this in the back of the club or the venue or the room or in the green room.
Well, you'd look insane if you acknowledged it.
Yes. Yes, there is a tune-out factor. Let me give a plug to the album. Gotta Have the Rumble. It's available now wherever you listen to music. And you can shoot Brian a tweet at Brian Setzer 59. And the website, BrianSetzer.com. When you come out to L.A. next, come by and bring your guitar and lay something down in the studio.
That'd be fun. That would be fun. I know. It's time to get out of here.
Thanks, Brian. We appreciate it.
You got it, Adam. I love you, man. Take care.
Love you. The great Brian Setzer. All right. Let's see. Let me hit Edmonds here. Buying a car, it's a big decision. Right now, it's especially difficult. Yeah, it's competitive out there. Very competitive. But you still want the best, right? And that's where Edmonds comes in. They have in-depth reviews. They have rankings to help you narrow the options. Like I said, it's funny. I was thinking about Edmonds over the weekend because I saw 1,000 smart cars on the island of Catalina. Mm-hmm. And when I talked to the guys from Edmonds, I was like, is anything bad these days? I mean, I know things are good and things are better. Is anything bad? They said, smart car. That's the only bad car. Everything else is good or better. You can read in-depth reviews. You can decide which model, which make. They have top-rated awards. You can find the right car for you. Once you've narrowed down your list, Edmonds makes it easy to search for them. In your area, you get accurate estimates so you know how much to pay and connect with your local dealer to set up a test drive or purchase. It's Edmonds, right, Dawson?
Shopping for a car can be overwhelming. Edmonds is here to guide you to your perfect vehicle. Visit Edmonds.com to see their best car rankings and search for vehicles near you. That's Edmunds.com. For cars, there's Edmonds.
Gina Graham?
Quick unearthed memory and question. I may have to find this. I have an old cassette, if it hasn't disintegrated, of my brother and I in our underoos, probably in pajamas in the early 80s, singing Stray Cat Strut, trying to do it in harmony with my aunt playing the guitar. Now that's all I want to find. But when you talk about Catalina, I forgot to ask you, was there a gas station?
Never saw one.
Okay, so whatever trucks and whatever's on there, they're all electric.
No, there's trucks. But I did not see a gas station.
Because I really wanted to know what gas prices would be
probably
on an island.
Have it tucked away somewhere.
Where else are you going to go?
Yeah.
But okay. It's somewhere. All right. AJ Benza may or may not be here. I'm not aware if he is.
I think he's at the gate right now.
And then also, what I wanted, something I'd been sitting on, I was going to play it for Brian, but he may have thrown up into his hollow guitar.
Well, oh, playing with me. I'm like, huh?
Oh, no.
Into my Gretsch.
Real Brian. Good Brian. Towns of Brian. Rich Brian. Yeah, into a Gretsch. I was listening to a little bit of Drake with featuring Future and Young Thug. And they took Drake's album just dropped.
Look at you.
Sure.
And it's him and let's see. He's going up against Kanye. It's okay. A big thing. Who sells more, Drake or Kanye?
Okay.
Drake's massive. Kanye's maybe a little more massive. So it's always like, who's gonna come out and sell the most units?
It's like
first?
Oasis and Blur.
That's right. And we should ask Drake if he knows Oasis or Blur. And they sampled "Too Sexy" by Right Said Fred.
What?
Wow.
Yeah.
We're scraping the bottom of the barrel. Man.
I know, but so. I don't know. Do we have? We should
start sampling songs that were sampling songs. You know what I mean?
No. We should listen to a little Setzer. I mean, the orchestra. I don't know if we can find it or what we have it, but I mean, we should just hear 15 seconds of that music.
Play the first track from the first album, Lady Luck.
Then we go right to Drake with Young Thug and Future and the sampling and the I'm Too Sexy.
I'm so excited.
Or maybe we'll just play I'm Too Sexy first if you want, then we can
You mean Way Too Sexy.
Oh, sorry. Way Too Sexy. Okay. All right, here
number
it is.
Number two.
For this sir, too sexy for your girl, too sexy for this world, too sexy for
music has not evolved.
The only thing I'll give him, and I'm not a fan, is that at least this seems like a joke.
It seems tongue in cheek.
I mean, not the song, but the video. Like, it kind of knows it's bad.
Okay, all right, that's fine. Okay, okay. Feeling too sexy to accept requests. And I'm way too sexy to go.
This is his first, I think this is the first single from the album.
Okay. This is gonna bring in the.
That's fine. Okay.
I need more red
all the earballs.
Too sexy for that metro housing. Diamond popped out, almost swallowed 60,000.
section. Need more things in here. I like it crowded.
All right, shut the vid. If we can keep, can we keep playing the song? I just want to hear the song.
Tell me what you like about him. You a turnt a little thotty. Ain't no wife about it. I'm a fuck of friends and send her back to Metro housing.
Yeah.
Now, I know a lot of people do that. Oh, you're old. This sucks. It just sucks. It's like, I'm not old. And I am old, and it sucks. I can say the same about architecture, or car design, or hairstyles. Yes, yes, I am old, and I can also point out what sucks.
This just kind of goes nowhere.
It's good background music, and yeah, this is supposed to be just ambiance at a club.
This is one level. The whole, this is
play. Also, do you know anyone who couldn't do this?
No.
Jim Carolla?
It's a good point.
No, but other than that, no, it's like the lobby of a W.
Yeah, exactly. This yeah. is the during the day at a pool in Vegas.
Oh, Brian Setzer your orchestra?
No, that was my dad.
Oh, no shit. Wow. Oh, now that I hear. Yeah.
Tonally.
Now that I said it, you can hear it.
Yeah, yeah.
But if I didn't say anything.
Power suggestion, my friend.
Yeah, I'm good.
Does he need to feature also, like, Young Thug and Future? Like, do we need help on this?
There's no hook here. Like, what is the one to remember about this song?
It's not really a song.
It's not a song.
It's a collection of words behind noise.
On a loop.
Or in front of noise, on a loop.
It's gotta suck, by the way, if you're in the band and you're playing live. Like, this gotta be like snooze. Fucking, ugh. What song are we doing? If you think about being in a rock band or playing in the Setzer Orchestra or something, it's gotta be so unsatisfying.
What happened?
We're shifting gears, Gina.
Oh.
This is part of the video, at least.
Oh, so this is not BSO.
Also, do we need to remake that horrible song from the very early 90s or late 80s? The Right Set Fred, like of all songs. I mean, at least P. Diddy samples Kashmir, and you go, oh, I like that.
And when Nicki Minaj did Anaconda and sampled I Like Big Butts, everybody loves that song. This is
all right, this is fucking shit. It's just shit. And I think part of it is just everyone over... No one over 40 wants to say Drake sucks because then you're like, oh, okay, old man. And no one's recalling.
You know what they call that now? Hmm. I bet Natalia knows it. Choogy.
Choogy?
Yeah, if you're like an old person who's trying to be cool.
That's me.
Yeah, this is good.
Also, Setzer plays an instrument.
Fucking A. Fucking Ripside Gretsch.
And apparently arranged this.
Hey, baby, looks like it's gonna hail.
I love watching people dance to this.
Everyone knows this song is a huge hit, but this is deep down on his list of best stuff.
It's his 9 to 5.
Yeah, it's a cover. It's good.
All right. AJ Benza is waiting out in the wings. Right Said Fred, 1991.
Middle school.
Number one.
I remember it well.
All right. We'll take a quick break. Come back with AJ right after this.
Pluto TV is playing the biggest movies every night this summer for free. Watch hit movies like The Matrix, G.I. Joe Retaliation, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Scary Movie, Runaway Bride, and more all summer long. Check out the biggest stars like The Rock, Keanu Reeves, Tom Cruise, Julia Roberts, Arnold Schwarzenegger, and more. Plus, Pluto TV has hundreds of free TV channels in English and Spanish featuring TV shows, news, sports, comedy, and more all for free. Download the free Pluto TV app on your favorite streaming device, including Android and Apple smartphones. Pluto TV. Drop in, watch free.